The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
It's great Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We will have Jude LaCava drop in today, Fox 10 sports director. And there's plenty to get caught up on with Jude around the valley, around the state, nationally. Josh Rosen actually did speak on his situation. We'll talk with Jude about that. More on Josh Rosen here momentarily. So I have Jude LaCava with us. Albert Breer will be with us today, Monday morning quarterback, senior NFL reporter. And it'll be good to catch up with Albert on all things around the draft. Draft is a week from today. Yesterday, I did a bunch of SagiCorps stuff. So you guys know I got my license, and I'll talk about them in a minute. But I met with some people yesterday in all different walks of life. But there are some sports tie-ins as I was meeting with them. I went to an event last night with Arizona State. Of course, SagiCorps is a partner with ASU. And so I'm sitting in this printing company, very nice people, and they showed me around this printing space. They've got over 100 employees, and they do lots of printing. And it was really interesting. Earlier in the day, I was over at Powerhouse Hoops. Eric, you know Powerhouse. And I was over there yesterday visiting with them on some things with SagiCorps. And so I'm doing sports, and I'm doing SagiCorps, and I'm talking about stuff in the sports world and life insurance world. It was really good. You know, I just, when I sit here and do this show every day, or most days, I talk about what's going on outside of just the sports stuff. The sports stuff's easy, like the draft's a week from today. You guys have been hearing about the draft for the last 4 months, okay? We really do hope on the sports end of things that teams don't get in this situation year after year after year. I was informed yesterday that there's times why I rub some teams the wrong way. This was shocking news to me. It's really, seriously, I rub some team the wrong way, and I don't do it intentionally. You know, I'm not doing this. I just merely point out that, you know, when you have the number one pick, it means you stink. And when you have the number one potential pick 2 years in a row like the Suns, it means you really stink. So I think people should expect that and actually respect people that speak truth rather than, you know, the referees just came up short. And no, that's not how this works. That's just not how it works. When you're bad, accept it. Well, I can't believe you're calling us out. Come on. So it was fun yesterday on many, many levels. And as the sports day progressed, I got a phone call yesterday morning that ASU was going to go out to see Chubba Purdy. Those of you that watch this show for longer than a nanosecond know full well that I have had an infatuation with the Purdys as players and as people because they're not crazy. A lot of times when it comes to recruiting, I run into people that are nuts. I run into people that say the coach would not guarantee my son a starting spot, thus we are transferring. Okay, I guess that's how it works in the world. Please guarantee Johnny that he's going to start, and then we'll come. You know, forget about the fact you have to work at it and earn it. No, you're Johnny, of course. Just show up. Everything's great. That's not how it goes. So I've liked their grit and their determination. So I'm going to talk about that visit a little bit and kind of what I see on that whole situation with ASU, because it is a crowded quarterback room. It's very important when you have a top flight quarterback in state that decides to at least consider, and then for Arizona State to say, you know what, we want you to be here. It has not happened for many, 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 many eons, moons, whatever term you want to use. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. The draft is mentioned just a week away. The Diamondbacks are playing right now. They're winning again. The baseball team, as bad as they were last week, and they were bad, they have been really good here and a gritty team. I like how they've played so far. Opening comments brought to you by SagiCorps Now. Protect what matters most. And you've got to do it with life insurance. You have to do it with annuities. I met with someone day before yesterday about their personal situation. They had recently gone through a divorce. They have children. Those children are now becoming, one is about ready to leave and go from high school on to college. And the two others are about to go into junior high and high school. So when you sit with someone and say, what do you want to do for these kids? And it's not just leave a bunch of money. What's the legacy you want to do? guys, if you don't come home tonight, is all this stuff handled? Pretty simple question. Is it all handled? Do you have everything buttoned down? If you don't, protect what matters most. Log on, get your free quote. It's Sagicor. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. All right, we're going to have an open segment coming up at 10:20, and then Jude will be with us at 10:35, and then we'll have Albert Breer come up at 10:50. But it's time for our favorite game show that we play every year. Every year in April, the day after the draft, the fastest growing game show in the history of the planet. I could have had Devin do the wacky, goofy game show music, but it's the Cardinals schedule is released. Your contestants are Eric Sorensen and Brad Sesmat.
Hello, it's great to be back.
This is my
favorite time of year.
Favorite segment we ever do. It's the segment where we look at the schedule and we say, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. Eric hates this with a passion. We don't practice it. I just say, let's do it. So let's go.
What's the grand prize?
Grand prize is you get another day off.
Hey, I like that.
Another week off.
I take a lot of time off, so that's good. You never have enough days off.
There you go.
Are we going to do the preseason games too?
Heck,
I think we should.
Shut up.
That's
get
important.
Out of here. What are you, nuts? We're not doing preseason
Only
football.
Only the third preseason game.
Oh, my gosh.
Most
don't.
Important.
God, I am seriously going to take – I need my knee replacement. I think I'm going to schedule it for August 1st. I don't want to be here the whole month of August to hear the nonsense of, can you believe how good this player looked in August? No, I don't care. And most fans know it's a ripoff. All right. So they open September.
This is so hard because I don't know how the Cardinals are going to be. I don't even know who the quarterback's going to be.
Okay, just let's go through it.
All right.
September 8th, home to Detroit.
Win.
It's a win. 15th at Baltimore.
Loss.
1-1. I'm right there with you. Home to Carolina.
I'm going to say that's a win. They've played the Panthers before here, and they've played well against them.
It's a win.
Yeah, it's a win.
2-1.
Okay.
Home to Seattle. It's a loss. 2-2.
Likewise. Devin put the schedule out. That's kind of cool.
It is nice of Devin to do that. At Cincinnati. It's a tough one.
At Cincinnati, early October. I'm going to say that is a win.
Me too. 3-2. Home to Atlanta. That's a win.
I think so too. 4-2. Wow. And you and I haven't disagreed once.
At New York against the Giants are going to lose. I don't think the Giants are any good, but they're going to lose.
I think that is a win as well.
Shut up.
I do.
East Coast, 10 a.m.?
It's fine.
All right. At New Orleans following week.
See, that's why I have them winning in New York, because they're definitely not winning in New Orleans.
Okay, loss.
All the way across country, all the way back to the West Coast, then you get to go to NOLA.
So what am I now, 4-5?
I lost track.
Yeah. This is why it's the funnest game show on the face of the planet. So then they go, they're home on Halloween night.
Yep, their only non-Sunday football game.
I am calling this
Thursday night football.
I am calling this a win.
I am too.
I think the 49ers are going to be better. Then they go play at Bruce Arians in Tampa.
That's a loss.
What time is that game? 11 a.m.? No, I think they're going to win that game.
Okay.
I think they're going to win that game. So I think I'm at 5-6 wins. I'm at 6 wins.
We haven't seen the bye yet, which is a bit concerning since we're almost to Thanksgiving, but continue.
Well, it is the Thanksgiving weekend, which is concerning. That's concerning. That's the NFL saying we don't think they're going to be very good.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how that plays
yep.
out to me.
Yep.
At San Francisco's a loss. They're not going to sweep the 49ers. Seriously? Seriously? You're thinking?
I think that's a coin flip game. But I'm going to say that that's a loss.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Right now I have them at 5-6.
Okay. I think I have them at 6-5. So.
Okay. And it comes into the bye. They're going to win the bye.
Yep. They always do.
They always win the bye. And no Thanksgiving with the Cardinals around.
I'm just going to go ahead and say it now. They're not going to win another game on the schedule.
Wow. Whoa.
Go through
wow.
them. Wow. Just go through them.
You really think they're going to lose at home to Cleveland?
I do.
You think Cleveland's going to be that good?
I think they're going to be much improved.
Home to the Rams. They play the Rams tough.
They do, but they rarely beat them.
That's true. Steelers are not going to be the Steelers. That'll be, by the way, that will be a silver and black or black and gold game like we've not seen before.
Yeah, it's a home game, but it's a road game.
Oh, my gosh, that's going to be. And then the Browns the following week. If the Browns are good and everybody's expecting the Browns to be good, they got four, what was it, four primetime games. The Browns did.
It is nice, though, because the Cardinals play three straight. But the bad news is they end the season in Seattle and at the Rams.
So they're going to lose both those games. So I have them at 6-10.
Okay. I have them at 6-10, too, but with different – I have them losing out after
– That is very negative.
After the Niners.
It's very harsh.
It's just what I see.
What is there a game there?
But if Jared Goff gets hurt, then, you know, there's lots of factors that play into this.
I mean, the stretch that I look at and say, okay, you got to go to New York, then – At New Orleans, do they fly all the way back home and then fly out? Or are they going to do one of those deals where they stay back there? Don't know.
I don't know. At the Giants, at the Saints, home to the Niners, and then all the way back across country to play the Bucs.
The only thing is, on that home to the 49ers, it's 4 days after being at New Orleans. It's a Thursday game.
Yep. That's a good point.
But then you have 10 days until you have to go back east at Tampa. So you get a mini bye.
Yeah, it's still tough going back east, though. The Cardinals hardly ever play well when they go back east.
If they lose at home to Detroit, they're not going to win at Baltimore.
Like last year? Like, oh, they're playing the Redskins, the perfect team to open up against, right. And they got destroyed.
They got boat raced.
That was like that was a precursor to what we're going to see for the season.
Look, for Cliff Kingsbury, having never coached – and not having a winning record at Texas Tech and coming here, and his opener is the Detroit, the Wolves are going to be out early on this one because it was such an out-of-the-box hire by Michael and Steve, and they missed so badly with Wilkes.
Right.
That if he doesn't have a quick start here, like, they could be as interesting and entertaining and draft Kyler Murray and have people watch. That doesn't work here in Arizona. By the time they get to the first
of
October.
In other markets, it does.
In other markets, it does. No, it's seriously, if you're going to try to draft for PR purposes, like, I think there's a little bit of PR going on, Eric, just in some of their personnel decisions. Terrell Suggs comes home. That's nice. Christian Kirk, a smart pick, still a local kid. DJ Foster, local kid. Let's bring him here. If they take Nikhil, local kid, it's kind of like when Jerry back in the day would find guys that had an angle or a tie to the Valley. I understand the business side of it. I really do. But, man, the way this schedule lays out, where I don't see this as easy as some are making it out to be. Like, I had some people said, no, they're going to be 4-1 out of the gate. How do you see 4-1? So you know, so we're at 6-10, and this will change. We'll probably do this again in July when we come back from break. But Josh Rosen finally spoke. We have some video of Josh Rosen speaking. He did so to SITV. We will have that on the other side. Then Jude LaCava later in the show. Albert Breer. I'm also going to talk about Chubba Purdy, a name that you need to know. Most of you do not follow those of you who don't follow recruiting at all, you have no idea who I'm talking about. Okay? You just don't. Those of you that are a little bit into it and see what we do on the high school and college platform know that I've talked about the last name Purdy for about a year and a half now. And for Arizona State to finally step up yesterday, I'm going to weigh in on that, too, in the next segment. I'm Brad Sussmat. So I'm going to talk about two quarterbacks in this segment. We'll talk about Chubba Purdy first, and then I'll get to Josh Rosen, because what Josh Rosen says is really interesting. Arizona State missed on Chubba Purdy's big brother, Brock Purdy. He's at Iowa State. They missed on Tyler Shuck, although I don't think they liked Tyler Shuck as much as they liked Brock Purdy back in the day. Yesterday, Arizona State went out to Perry High School, and they saw Chubba Purdy work out. They saw Chubba Purdy throw. Last night, they offered Chubba Purdy a scholarship. This is, in my opinion, a very smart move by Arizona State. It's my understanding that they've given Chubba until June 1st to figure out what he's going to do and if he's going to commit. Doesn't mean they're going to pull the offer. It's interesting in recruiting. Quarterbacks get their commitments done now in this cycle by June 1st. 90% of quarterbacks will have already announced where they're going to go. What makes this kid different is, well, there's many things. Arizona State has not hit on a quarterback in the state of Arizona in a long, long time. Long time. And I've been of the opinion that as wildly successful and popular as N'Keal Harry has been as a Sun Devil, or fill in the blank of former local high school kids that have stayed home and have gone on. DJ Foster would be another, although DJ did not get to put up the yards I think he could have and was not used properly, in my humble opinion, towards the end. They've not had a quarterback that has run out onto the field. And I will tell you that if you look up the definition of charismatic, you'll see Chubba Purdy next to it, a little picture of him. The name Chubba, I could go into that today. I'm just going to save that for another day because it's a really interesting backstory. As I've seen him play and what he does on the field, it's more than special. His brother is a game manager and makes big plays and does it in a way that there is no air of confidence or arrogance about him. That's not him. He just goes out and he does his thing. I would say that there's a little bit more flair. That's not arrogance. There's just a little bit more flair in the way that Chubba plays the game. A little bit more, I'd say, fire. Doesn't mean that Brock doesn't have fire. Here's what's going to happen for these two kids. Because they're brothers and they're so close together, it's only going to be natural that people in my chair and with notepads and big bottles of ink are going to compare the two as players. That is only natural. Not a criticism of either kid. I'm not here in that business. That's not my thing. This kid, if he decides to come to Arizona State, and if he comes out on the field and performs, I think he will do well. He's already well beyond what he's done in high school at Perry. He's already, in my view, could step on a college campus and help. The thing is, Arizona State's quarterback room is so crowded and so busy today that he'll go play at Perry this upcoming season. I don't know if Perry has as much talent as they've had the last few years. I don't know that. They've been to the 6A championship game each of the last 2 years. I don't know if he's going to go out there and get his head beat in because he doesn't have a whole lot of playmakers around him. I don't know that. I don't know if he's going to go out and light it up and they're going to go win a state title. I know this. If you're a Sun Devil fan at all, or if you're a fan of college football, you need to go watch this kid play because there is something different about him. There's just something. He's got it. The it factor is there. When I saw Brett Hundley play at Chandler High School, Brett clearly had it. And he's gone on to the NFL, and now he's with the Cardinals. I think when I see a guy like Jack Miller over at Chaparral High School or some of the other quarterbacks that have come out, they've had it. Is it going to transfer? I don't know. I thought Kyle Allen had it, and it didn't work out for him. You don't know these kids that decide, well, I'm going to go to Texas school. I'm going to go to the Midwest. It's worked out for Brian Lewerke pretty well, although he got hurt last season. I'm tired of seeing the local quarterbacks not get recruited to stay at home. And I felt for the last few years at Arizona State, this is before Herm came and before Al Luganville came. I felt that Todd just flat missed. And if it weren't for Mike Norvell, there's no way N'Keal Harry was going to Arizona State. So, you know, this is a big, big deal on many fronts. This could be a PR battle that's finally solved and won. I don't see the U of A jumping in on this one. I talked to the dad last night for about a half hour just on things and where it stands. And it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. But he's got to make a decision, I think, by June 1st. It's not a hard, fast one, but they've got to get a feel of, yeah, we're really interested in you, or no, we're going to move on. So that's where that one stands. On the pro front, so Josh Rosen finally comes up for air. I understand where Josh Rosen has been. I actually am not one of those that sits behind microphones and demands that guys must speak about what they're feeling. Yeah, our business is we want to hear them, but what I don't want is just the same old crapola. Just something that's recycled just to simply say, let's get him out here and get it over with and just make it a PR dog and pony show. Josh Rosen has got a lot more going on for him, in my opinion, than just fill up a notepad and, yeah, I'm really frustrated or, man, this is really confusing. So here is Josh Rosen. He spoke with SITV. Eric, this is not I've not seen this yet. So this is not him in a like studio setting or anything like that.
No, just the opposite of a studio setting.
All right. So I intentionally do not want to see these bits because I want to have first reaction, just like all of you. So let's see Josh Rosen. This was earlier for SI.
Who you look up to in the sports world that uses their platform to raise awareness for issues that are going on in the world?
Chris Long is probably a guy that I really look up to. He's done a lot of awesome work with his Water Boys project to raise money to mine these wells for communities that are water insecure, which we couldn't even imagine not like literally not being able to drink clean water. But another guy that I think is really sort of taking charge in a good direction.
This is part of the interview, but not the part that we want to see here. There's another part to this that I believe that we have. And that was pretty interesting. Like I said, I think there's a lot more there than the clean water side of things. So this was all part of an interview. The only downside to this, from my understanding, is it's behind a paywall, which means SI said, if you want to watch this, you got to pay for it. I get the pay for content thing, but fortunately, there's ways around that. And we want people to be able to see our best work. That's why we don't have a paywall. And to see our work and enjoy our work and take it all in. So this is a bigger part of a long-form interview that they did. And this was earlier. Do we have this now? We get a thumbs up on this one? We'll have it shortly. All right. Just give me a heads up when you've got it. So with the draft being now a week away, we're going to have some people on the next few shows around the draft even closer. We've had Peter on a couple times. Peter King, as always. Albert Breer is going to be on with us. Ron Wolfley is going to be in studio to talk with us about the draft rock here. So all that be coming up between now and next week with the draft being just a week away. Here now is Josh Rosen.
I think the season probably went as poorly as it could possibly go. But within that, had an unbelievable time. I think when people talk about, like, you can't listen to criticism or don't ever read articles, like, you have to be aware of what's going on to a certain extent. So, like, I definitely understand the situation. I mean, it's annoying, but, like, it is what it is. Football is a business, and I definitely respect the higher-ups and their decisions. Like, we won 3 games, and each one of those wins, to me, it felt like we won the Super Bowl. And, like, that feeling is so intoxicating, and that's why I just want nothing more than to be a part of a team next year and have the same opportunities to go out and compete. I think, like, the best advice I've ever gotten in life from so many different people is control what you can control, and whatever decisions are made, it's my duty to prove them right if they keep me and prove them wrong if they ship me off.
All right, so that's really interesting. So Grand Canyon, right? Or am I missing it? It looked like Grand Canyon
from not sure.
My seat. Could be Payson. Somewhere here in the state.
Yep, somewhere not in Phoenix.
Somewhere not in Phoenix. He's with his bros. They've got a, you know, they shot that in a space where they've got to put the music behind it to spice it up a little bit. So it was well produced. Yeah, I will talk about all this, and I will do it with you in my own setting, in my own environment. You saw the other clip there that we played earlier of him talking about wastewater treatments and all that stuff. I know for most of you, it's you just want him to talk about quarterbacking the Arizona Cardinals. It's April. He doesn't have a game coming up. He did address what is going on with the team and that it is a business and that last year was a brutal year and winning is intoxicating. I still am of the opinion to keep him. I have not given up on him. The team has several holes that you can take this number one overall pick and not go get the Lamborghini, the sharp, shiny object, and go do something to solve 3 or 4 things at one time. So that was really interesting, I think. It's interesting that he would choose to do it in that sort of platform, that sort of setting, rather than, you know, go sit in front of a locker room with a bunch of guys with notebooks and notepads versus him just free-flowing saying, this is how it was for me last year. I kind of like that. I think that that's a millennial way to go about it. All right, Jude LaCava is next and Albert Breer on this Thursday. I'm Brad Sussmat. Welcome back. Thanks again to Sagicor. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Year 9, sports360az.com. We have all of our content up on the website at sports360az.com. And, of course, our television show on Fox Sports Arizona, 12 airings per week with Brad Sussmat, Football AZ. Jude LaCava is with us, Fox 10 sports director, good friend of the show. He had Bobby Hurley pegged as staying way before it came out. As always, he is ahead of the curve. With that said, the number one overall pick by the Arizona Cardinals will be Mr. LaCava.
Well, let me answer it this way, because I do believe that there's a strong possibility it's Kyler Murray. However, let's do a few things here that your audience hasn't heard before. Before the Denver Broncos traded Case Keenum to Washington, The Arizona Cardinals were extremely, extremely interested. This has never come out locally, nationally, in Case Keenum. And to me, this is quite revealing because you got to go back to University of Houston when Cliff Kingsbury was the OC and he coached Case Keenum about a decade ago. And to me, this is the most revealing part of this whole story, and that is they wanted a veteran guy with 1 year left on his contract to really be the bridge to the next quarterback, somebody that Cliff is comfortable with. If you're going to hire a rookie NFL head coach, you want to appease what he wants, a system quarterback that he's coached, that he's comfortable with. And that, to me, is very revealing. I'm not going to say it's absolute because I think there's a few things that has to happen. And what do I mean by that? I think that the Arizona Cardinals are going to wait up until as late as Wednesday to entertain the best possible offers for Josh Rosen. I don't think they're going to get a first-round pick, at best a second-round pick, possibly from Washington, possibly from the Chargers. And if that falls into place, the next mechanism falls into place, and that, of course, would be the drafting of Kyler Murray. Now, having said that, what is interesting is that none of these reports have come out, the Cardinals' interest in Case Keenum. Now, is there a chance that there could be some kind of deal for Keenum still? Maybe. I'm not going to rule that out. I just know that a very, very reliable source talked directly to Case Keenum. He said, man, the Cardinals are coming after me. Mm-hmm. And that was right before he was traded to Washington. So to me, it's revealing, Brad. It's revealing in a sense that Cliff wants his style of quarterback. And that is where I think they're going to go if those other elements fall into place.
Okay, so, and for clarity's sake on my end, we reported Case Keenum too back in February, and I think what you're saying, Jude, is you're taking it to that nth degree. It was out there of Case Keenum that there was an interest. So I think you and I are together on the same page on
yes.
this one. I'm kind of in a different space in that. Trade down, please trade down. Please, dear God, trade down, because you have so many holes on this team and you don't want to be in this position ever again. But Michael loves the spotlight, loves the PR, wants to win here in terms of TV ratings and ticket sales versus on the field. He wants to do both, obviously. I'm not saying he's a fool, but to me, this is becoming more and more of a pick, and I'm only going off agent stuff, that believe that they will take Kyler Murray. I think it's the wrong move in the big grand scheme of things. If you get a third for Josh Rosen or you get a second for Josh Rosen, you have to make sure you hit on that pick. If you do get the Raiders, we had Peter King on and he talked about the Raiders deal, and that if you get four first-round picks.
Let me interject something.
Sure,
on that, okay?
Sure.
A really, really good source, a source that I would trust my life with.
Really?
Yes, said to me, John Gruden is doing nothing more than trying to light a fire under Derek Carr. He has absolutely zero interest in Kyler Murray. Zero. That's not his style of quarterback. He's not big enough. He's not going to go there. He's putting it out there to say, listen, let me inspire Derek Carr. I think there might be other quarterbacks he's interested in, but I have it on really good authority that the Raiders, it's not, that is the propaganda, the misinformation that Steve Kine was talking about earlier this week. Mm. There's no validity in that whatsoever, despite Peter King's report. I think that's why you see all this posturing. Now, we'll find out, of course, a week from now, but I do believe in the source that I talked to that Gruden's coming from a different direction. Yes, there's been some issues with Derek Carr, but for the most part, they have other needs as well. And yeah, they have some gravitas with all those picks, but I still think that if you're going to hire Cliff Kingsbury, and this is the basic logic I'm relying on to make this assumption,
sure,
you're going to give him every chance to succeed with the quarterback that he wants. And you know, whether that's true or not, I think Kyler Murray is more Doug Flutie than he's Michael Vick. I think Kyler Murray is more of a guy that has a smaller frame. He's not Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. And despite his great speed and scrambling ability, he is going to get hit. I mean, I'm taller than Kyler Murray. All right. He's going to play probably at about 190 pounds as the season progresses. I wouldn't go there. I actually think Josh Rosen, with the right support, and I think the key rounds for the Cardinals are 2 through 4 when it comes to other skill position players at the wide receiver spot that they essentially need. I think Josh Rosen, interestingly enough, could be a very good quarterback in Cliff Kingsbury's system, provided you look at how they're going to use the short passing game as the run game. And I this is where I'm in agreement with you. I do think, though, that they will defer to what Cliff wants. And, right. and I think Cliff wants a guy he's coached before.
So, and we're talking with Jude LaCava over at Fox 10. In the way that it is set up right now, you and I are on the same page in terms of with that one you would like them to trade back to. Is that what you're suggesting?
I they need a ton of players. I think they have a quarterback. They just moved up last year
yes.
to get Josh Rosen.
Yes.
I think that there are so many holes to fill. Look, you can't keep hoping that Larry plays another year and another year. They need wide receivers. They need depth in the secondary. They need essentially more depth in their front defensive seven. So there are some exceptional defensive linemen coming out of this year's draft. So I see an opportunity for them if they decided to trade down. But I think that it's going to be more about appeasing Cliff Kingsbury and what he wants, and that's what's going to play out Thursday.
Larry, by the way, being in Robert Sarver's meetings for the we've seen a lot.
I didn't know he was an aspiring NBA GM. But
Jude, we've seen a lot through the years. I mean, I don't even know where to go on that one. In terms of the draft.
And by the way, I can also add to you, they flew out to see, my understanding is pretty information, they flew to see John Moran. I think it might have been the conference championship game.
Yeah.
A few weeks back. So, I mean, you know. Look, the absurdity there, I have a really tough time, and I don't know why there's not more outrage by media in this town, that your strategy is to continue to lose and lose and lose and lose for good young players. It's absurd. It's destructive.
It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing.
You know more than me. You were there, and then I came into town, and the two of us see this stuff, and we're just... You're right about the lack of outrage, but I think that's the heavy hand of Robert in telling the newspaper, you know, I'll just pull some advertising if you're not going to be nice. You know, that's the type of nonsense that's going on right now.
Well, here's what's interesting. He met with Dave Griffin for 3 hours. I believe it might have been in South Florida well over a month ago. And Dave loves this franchise.
Yep.
Started with this franchise. And the premise for Dave Griffin was very simple. I'll take the job, but you stay out of it. And Robert could not agree to that. So what did he do? He elevated James Jones to GM, and he hired a guy, Jeff Bauer, that needed a job that crashed and burned the Pistons. I mean, he drafted Stanley Johnson. He extended John Lure. I mean, I'm not trying to put the man down. He knows the league. But, again, you're going with C-minus type guys that have had either issues or have never done that job before. So where is this going to change?
Yeah,
they're going to get a good player in the upcoming draft. But is this really how you want to strategize your franchise, keep losing so you garner good young players? It's pathetic.
No, you missed the point. Larry's there. He can go recruit guys. We're going to have Larry go out and recruit guys to Phoenix because we can't sign a free agent to save our lives. We only are going to get used by free agents like Blake Griffin and LaMarcus Aldridge for bigger contracts. But if we have Larry involved, you know, Larry, he's got to – it's I don't know.
It's Ted Stepien. I mean, you remember him.
Yeah, sure. Hey, no, I had Donald Jude, I had Donald Sterling in San Diego having
Sterling. That's
Paul,
right.
Paul Silas folding towels after games that he coached. No,
You've seen the lowest of the low.
No, you and I have got some stories. So good hearing your voice as always. Hope you're well. Thanks.
All right, Brad. Thanks again for having me. Appreciate it, bud.
You got
Take
it.
Take care.
There's Jude LaCava. Yeah, we could do Ted Stepien. I'll give you Ted Stepien. I'll give you Donald Sterling. And now both of us can say, I'll give you Robert Sarver. Albert Breer is next. Monday morning quarterback, the MMQB, senior NFL reporter. That is on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. So if you want to see more or revisit that Josh Rosen interview that SI got with him, and if you can figure out if he's at the Grand Canyon or outside of Payson, it's over on SI.com. It's good stuff there with Josh Rosen speaking about his situation. Albert Breer with us now, senior NFL reporter, lead content strategist, the MMQB, one of the leading voices in the National Football League with the NFL draft now in sight. All the buildup, all the hype, almost to the finish line. Albert, as we sit here today, your view on the number one overall pick, what will the name be?
I still think it's going to be Kyler Murray. You know, I think that the Cardinals have left some hints here. I mean, I just look at it and I see, I obviously see the way they've handled the Josh Rosen situation. And Josh, I think feels like he's been in the dark here for a few weeks. Some of the trust has been broken there. So to me, the question, remains, like, why would you handle that situation that way if you weren't planning on taking Kyler Murray first overall? And, the thing that I know is that the relationship between Cliff and Kyler, that's real. Cliff's, love for Kyler as a football player is real. And you took a big swing on Cliff Kingsbury when you hired him as your head coach after what happened at Texas Tech. And, that guy who you brought in to set up an offense to coach a quarterback is telling you, this is the one who can make my offense fly. I think it's incumbent on you to make the move and bring in the guy that he wants to be or to be the quarterback he can build around.
How real do you believe any of these rumors are of teams trying to get up to number one with multiple picks? How much of it is smokescreen? I guess the bigger question is, how do you think the Cardinals have handled the number one overall pick just in the buildup?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I just don't sense that there's much of a market at all for the first pick. But it's the way the draft class is this year. I think it's just, if you're going to trade up and you're going to pay what it's going to cost to get to the number one pick, I mean, normally it's for a quarterback. And, there's actual proof of that, too, where, if you want to go back and you want to look over the years, the first 5 years of this decade, we had, and I'm going to hang on a second here. The first 5 years of this decade, we had nine trades up into the top 10. Only two of those were for quarterbacks. Over the last 4 years, the number's actually 7 of 9. Mm. And the only two trades that were into the top 10 that weren't for quarterbacks were short moves up for Leonard Floyd and Jack Conklin at the bottom of the top 10. So, invariably, trades up inside the top 10 or into the top 10 on the high end are always for quarterbacks now. And I just don't sense there's this great clamoring for anybody to move up to get any of this year's quarterbacks.
MMQB senior NFL reporter Albert Breer with us. What is the market for Josh Rosen coming into this draft? What are you hearing out there?
I think it's hard to tell right now. I think without, actually staging an auction or opening things up for offers and, being a little more public about it, I think it's hard to tell what the Cardinals could get for him. I think their market for him will probably be with the teams that are maybe looking to find the next one but have an established starter who's getting a little older. And that's, your Patriots, your Chargers, your Packers, your Saints. And I'm not saying any one of those teams in particular would do it, but I think that's the area where the market would be right now. Those teams, I think each one of them is, still happy with their starting quarterback, but chances are they're not going to be bad enough to draft one high in the next few years. And so they may have to get creative to find the next guy. And I think the Cardinals can offer them a creative solution here. Where if you trade a low one or a two for Josh Rosen, on the low end, you've got a cheap backup for the next 3 years. The guy who will come in at $6.24 million over the next 3 years and be your backup. And on the high end could be your next guy. And so I think there is still a lot of value in Josh Rosen as a player, and I think there's a lot of value in Josh Rosen as an asset as well. And I think if they were to put him out there on the market, I think that you would see his price rise a little bit just because, again, he's an affordable guy at an expensive position.
Last question we have with Albert Breer. Appreciate all the time and insight. And that is this. Can you make a compelling argument, Albert, from your view that the Cardinals should trade down, accumulate more assets with this number one overall pick? Or is it, Brad, come on, it's a once-in-a-lifetime deal with Kyler Murray?
No, it depends on what you think of Kyler Murray. I mean, look, here's the thing. If you think he is a game-changing prospect, if you think he is a guy who's going to make everything different in your organization, it's incumbent on you to take him. Don't get cute. Don't move. Just sit there and take him. If he's not, you know, then we're talking about something else.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at that point you look at it and you say, are we better off, you know, with Nick Bosa or Quinnen Williams, or are we better off with a bunch of assets? And are we better off with, say, four or five picks instead of one pick?
Right.
I know there are some teams that would argue, because of the makeup of this year's draft class, you probably wouldn't want to drop too far. Really, there may be four or five, you know, real elite prospects in this year's class, and that's it. So if you drop that too far, you know, the question is, are you just drafting role players at that point? So it's complicated by the makeup of the draft class. I think it's complicated by the differing opinions on Kyler Murray. But, I would just say, if you like Kyle that much, you sit there and you take him. Like, you don't get cute about it. You don't trade down. I hope you get him further down. You take him. If you're not convinced of that, or if you want to go and get another player, that's where I think the bigger questions are open.
Good stuff as always, Albert. Appreciate the time and insight. Thanks.
You got it, bud.
It's Albert Breer with us, MMQB, senior NFL reporter. That was a meat sandwich right there. That was solid. Good stuff. Good get by Eric. All right, Devin Henry is our chairman of the board. Eric Sorensen, as always, produces. We have plenty of content up on our website. Content changes all the time. It's pro, college, and high school. Things that we see that may not be getting a whole lot of attention. Do a deep dive on the site. You'll find things like the all-academic team, our partnership with the Chandler School District, where we let kids do their play-by-play of events. A lot of college recruiting, and that's all there on the website. Have yourself a great day.